Amen. It is good to be with you. If you take your Bibles with me tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it is a pleasure, always a blessing and an honor to be here and to be back here. I never thought, I've said that every time I come home, that I never thought it any place would feel like home. We're from the eastern shore of Maryland. I know that most people, when they listen to me talk, Brother Carter, every time he would see, I had an old truck here when we lived here, and it had Maryland tags, and he'd walk by it and say, "Who in the world is from Maryland?" And I'd say, "I am, preacher." He goes, "I thought you were from Georgia." Amen. And all the time. And we did, we live, it's a little more backwards. I said last time we were here, you know, we hold the front lines. We're right on the Mason-Dixon line. We were right on the border. And I married a Yankee. She was just north of the border. Amen. But she was the prettiest one I could find up there, and I brought her down. Amen. We do have two students with us, and Tyler and Bethany, and both of them are here, and they're seniors in our Christian school, and they're on their senior trip, and we came down to look at the college as well, and we hope that you won't tell any bad stories. I'm the youth pastor there, assistant pastor, bus mechanic, and I'll save you from all the other things that I do at our church, but it is good to be home with you, and if you know, you wear a lot of hats in the ministry. And we're glad to do it. We just was in touch with Brother Wiebe. We were in touch today trying to get the last bus picked up so it can run Sunday. It had to be inspected. Amen. Glory to God. And we got some liberals in Maryland, and they want a wheels-off inspection every year of them things. And we put some rotors and brakes and just a mess of stuff on that thing. But praise the Lord for the bus ministry. Amen. And I'm so glad for it. I was glad that I got hauled. My dad, after a while, I was hauled around on it. My dad got into the driving ministry, the bus ministry, and just this past, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before, we lost our bus director. He went home to be with the Lord. He was 76 years old, and he ran his bus route Sunday morning, and they had a birthday party on Sunday for him. And he went in there, and they had cake and ice cream. And I tell you what, he looked like he was doing good, getting around good. I mean, he went on to the bus, and his wife took him out to have a steak. And they went out to eat lunch, and he went home to be with the Lord. When they got to the house, he just went on and went home to be with the Lord. And that's shaking. You pray for our church. There's few men. There's a good, you know, the Bible talks about some men would be willing to die for a good man. And that was the kind of man that he was. He was a good man. I mean, he was the kind of man that when he passed on, you look around and you go, how are we going to go on without him? Amen. And there's very few men. You know, most of the time you take another halt and you go on, but you wonder, how in the world are we going to go on without him? So you pray for our church. Great man. My father's friend. The very first time my dad got in church and really got doing anything, the first time I remember being a worker on anything, I was just a 5 or 6 year old boy, and he let me run to the door and knock the doors for him on his bus route. And he was the bus captain, and my dad drove the bus for him. And so he's been a family friend for a long, long time. And tonight in 1 Thessalonians, I want to tell you a story if I could, just before we get started, and I think this will bless your heart. It's Brother Scotty Drake come up during our missions conference a couple years ago to our church. And Tyler is a worker on my bus route. And we're out in the sticks. We have an old country route. We don't have a lot of apartment buildings, and the houses are stretched out. We have a couple trailer parks on our route, and we go around and knock doors. And we went up, and Brother Scotty came, and it was Saturday morning bus visitation. Brother Scotty came out and went knocking doors with us. I said, "Brother Scotty, come on, get in with us." And I had two teen boys in the back, and Brother Scotty rode up front with me, and we went on, and we went to this house. And there was a man there. I believe he was in his 90s. I believe he's ever been in his 90s. And we've tried to talk with him before. A very cordial man. And Brother Scotty went in there and won him to Christ. Amen, that morning. And I was praising the Lord. And they come outside. And Tyler had gone in with him and had gone through that. And when we come outside, they had somehow, this big Rottweiler dog had got off its chain or out of its pen. And I was in the car. Amen. And I wasn't getting out. Amen. I put the window down and was like, "Watch out for that dog." Amen. I was exhorting, as the Word of God does, beware of dogs. Amen. Get to the car. So he was a good bus worker, and he threw himself in front of this dog. Amen. Instead of getting it, Brother Scotty. And the dog latched on to his tie. His tie. And he had that boy going around like this. And he, you know, and the dog would lunge at him and try to get him, but I guess the tie was hung on one of his teeth, and he'd come at him and he'd back up. And he was keeping him at tie length, amen? And he was doing that. And you know, Brother Scotty went over there, and he had both his hands in his pockets because he didn't want that dog to bite his hands. He started ninja kicking that dog. I'm not kidding you. I never seen nothing like it. Brother Scotty kicked that dog off of that boy, and that boy ran and got in the truck, amen? Left Brother Scotty right out there, amen? And so I reached over and pushed the door open, and Brother Scotty just steady ninja kicked that dog all the way right into the truck. And we got in, he shut the door. Praise the Lord, brother. We got that man saved in there. I mean, he never talked about the dog, never went on. He's like, where are we going next? Amen. And I've always, I told him, I said, I'm going to tell that story on you down there. Amen. And that dog about had him. I thought he was going to take a big old chunk out of his face. But the Bible does say, beware of dogs. And you should have run. Amen. Brother Scotty would have understood. Amen. So, praise the Lord. But he was brave at the beginning, and later on he abandoned his helper. Amen. Amen. All right. Tonight, let's pray, and we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Dear Jesus, as we come to you tonight, dear God, I pray that you would just do a work tonight that I cannot do. I pray, dear God, that you would use me as your messenger boy. I pray, dear God, that you would just use me as your mouthpiece. I thank you for your word that you've given us, and dear God, I thank you for how you've moved in my heart with what I'm going to give tonight, and I pray, dear God, that you'd be able to help me to just share some of those things. I pray you'd let the Holy Spirit speak and not me tonight, dear God, to be able to press on hearts just the necessity and the urge and all the hour that we live in. And I know that they know, but help us, dear God, to remind so that we can be fervent for you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether it's going to be a message tonight. I might be a Bible study, but if you look at it with me, you understand in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 as we finish up, what an encouraging area. We're going to be in chapter number 5 tonight, but I couldn't help but think about reading verse number 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe that that's a great hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Every time I think about the day and age that we live in, I believe that, man, enduring to the end, when we realize that Jesus, if we really live a life of understanding that Jesus is coming back for us, it gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. It gives us a realization. It gives us a realization that at any moment, everything is fulfilled that Jesus needs. I mean, everything for him to return for his church is done. And I mean, he could come. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Amen. This is a place that knows and hears. But listen, I'm telling you, as a little boy, all the way up until a big young man, amen, when I surrendered 100% to the Lord to do what he wanted me to do, I tell you what kept driving me and kept working me was knowing that at any moment, Jesus could come back. I remember being a teenager and sitting in my youth class and listening to my teen pastor preach to me and tell me, listen, Jesus could come back today, and he would read this area of scripture, another area of scripture that would prove this truth, and he would get excited and he'd start preaching. And man, I remember sitting back there, and I was a selfish young man, and I'd say, dear Lord, I love that girl. Amen. That was my wife back then. Amen. I've not loved anybody else. We started out early. Amen. Now listen, all you teenagers, cover your ears up. Amen. I started liking her when I was 15. She was 14. Amen. And I'm not real good at quitting. Amen. And she never ran off. I never could run her off. And she stayed around all these years. Amen. And praise the Lord. I'm telling you, man, I remember back then, the first thing I thought, I was like, Lord, I'd love to get married. Don't come back today. I'd love to get married. Amen. Ain't that a selfish thought? You've had it too. Amen. If you've been saved any amount of time, you had that thought. Instead of thinking, Lord, let me win one more, you thought, boy, let me see my grandkids. I did it again. I remember a preacher preaching, and man, he had it hot and heavy, and I knew that Jesus was about to bust through the ceiling of the building and come and get me, and I say, Lord, would you hold off? I just want to have children. I'd love to have my children. Let's see my children. Then I wanted to see, you know, I'd love to see them grown, but you know, I've come to a place, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We live in a day and age, man, where I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I believe, listen, it would do us all good if we realize, listen, that's encouraging. The end of chapter 14 is encouraging to the Christian. But boy, when we get into chapter 5, a lot of times that's where we encourage ourselves with, but we don't go on and read chapter 5. chapter 5 tells us what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. He's saying, hey, man. Hey, I'm coming back. Hey, it's the truth. You know that, I mean, the trump's going to sound and we're listening for it. Man, I preached a message to him. I still remember Pastor Carter, man, he said, you know you ain't the first one that did that, right? And I was down there and I had it all worked out. Brother Pouts is sitting in the back of high school chapel and I was preaching up a storm and I was preaching out of that passage in chapter 4 and I said, the trump's going to sound. And he was supposed to hit a horn and he didn't. I said, and the trump's supposed to sound, amen. And then he didn't hit the horn and I had to do it 3 times, and finally, boy, he had an air horn, and he had a boat horn, he went, murr, and I mean, the back 3 rows of boys jumped in the floor. They thought a tractor trailer had come through the back of the building, amen? And some of them, amen, we had a few saved, and man, I tell you what, but you know, we can preach that, we can preach it, and teenagers believe it, and I believe it, but listen, there's some things while we're still here waiting on the trumpet that we need to be practicing. And I'm telling you, listen, it'll surprise you what's in chapter 5. Because, you know, I know what you're thinking, brother. You're getting ready to preach on working. Amen. Listen, sometimes it's just, you know, it's not so much working as watching. Yeah. You know, this book, that, I mean, I'm going to tell you, working is not excluded in chapter 5. But watching and being sober. You know, we get so much. One of the things that was said of our bus director, our bus man, bus captain, great man of God that's been in our church, worked, I mean, 30 years, the bus director at our church. You know what was said of him above everything else that I could honor him with tonight was he said he lived on purpose. He lived on purpose. It wasn't happenstance. I mean, it wasn't that he planned everything out, but I mean, he was watching and he was sober. Everything was real to him. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, we live in a day and age and we all get caught up with our cell phones and some new thing or some new app or some other thing that distracts us. Chapter 5 is about us watching. Chapter 5 is about us being diligent for the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I want to live on purpose. In chapter 5, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And I don't believe we need to take time and expound these, but it's just putting us in that order and realizing, listen, because of what we said in chapter 4, that Jesus could come back at any moment. Listen, I don't have to tell you about the times and the seasons. Pastor Carter's talked about Sir Isaac Newton, and boy, we could throw it off and say in 2060, that's the date he set, boy, from the Holy Roman Empire, that 1260 years down the road. I mean, he set a date way down there. We could say, well, he was a smart guy. Well, we got some time left. Listen, I wouldn't take his word for it. He was smart. Take his word on gravity. Don't, if you throw something up, get out from underneath of it. Amen. But on the coming of the Lord, I would just stick with the scripture. No man knows the day or the hour. Amen. If you're worried about that, worry about that big asteroid that's coming for us in 2020. Amen. Now you're going to look that up on your phones. Just put your phones away. All right. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. I just want to stop here and just make some comments, and I'm trying to get somewhere tonight. Really, what I want to give you is later in the chapter, but I want to say this, and here, listen, that sleep, and Pastor Carter talked about us driving through the night, and you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I know that I look that way, but and my wife might, but I think the age is showing on me. That she's still in her 20s, and as I age, you know, it's harder for me to drive through the night. And boy, we were driving down here, and it got, you know, we got in a backup, and it pushed off my time, and I was dreading. I was looking, you know how it is, you're looking at the clock when you're going to arrive, amen. And some of you have that GPS, and we had a rental car, and praise the Lord for it later on, but and I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, we were driving down. I knew this might be on the internet. I don't want Hertz Rental Company to look that up. But anyway, but we were driving through the night, and you know, you get tired, you get weary. You know, and it's saying that, you know, those that are of the day, man, we, you know, if you're in the night, you sleep at night. You know, if you have one of them jobs where you got to sleep during the day, you got a tough job. I watch these teenagers today. We try to rest a little bit, but come 7:30 in the morning, I was awake. That's what time I'm supposed to get up. That's what time I'm supposed to be awake by then. I should be gone from the house. But when I laid down at 4:30, listen, I was still awake at that time. I was like, man, I need to rest. I need to sleep a little longer. I ought to take some more rest. But listen, my body had a clock that was set. And listen, as a Christian, there ought to be some things that are set in your life that are natural things. If the flesh has a natural thing and has a clock that's set and it watches and tells me to get up and I ought to be gone and I ought to be doing something, listen, then the spirit ought to have some things that are set in our body. I ought to be about my Father's business. I ought to be about some things in my life. I ought not get caught up into things. Listen, I'm a child of the light. If you're saved today, you're a child of the light, and we ought to be after some things. We ought not sleep as others do sleep. Listen, I know that, man, we live in a Laodicean church age where everybody is laid back, and it's not with their music, man. They want to take that, but man, with their service, with their sanctity, I mean, with being right with God and loving Him. Listen, I love this part of the scripture. Look at it with me. I thought about this. We were driving down the road, and Hertz might get upset with me, but we were driving down the road, and I was getting weary, and I was trying to watch, and we were in traffic coming through Jacksonville. And I mean, I was doing the speed limit, amen. We were coming through some of these Jersey walls, I guess they call it, and I wish they'd keep them in Jersey. And we were going this way and that way, and all of a sudden, and it started to open up, and I started to accelerate to the speed that was supposed to be on the highway. And I was getting up to speed, and we were looking, and I was watching. I thought I was watching. And this big old rubber alligator was across the road. And praise the Lord that he was a good parallel. I mean, he was crossed up with me, amen? And I mean, broom, it was there and gone because I was doing a speed limit, you see? And and man, I tell you, I went over that thing, and it was just that quick. That I mean, I was watching, and my wife was watching, and the teenagers were watching, because all of them knew at any moment I could go to sleep, and it could be terrible. And we were watching, we were all looking forward, but in a split second, that tire came out of nowhere. And it was black, and the road was all different colors where they were working on it, so it didn't seem like it didn't seem like it stood out. It didn't seem like anything different. In this world, we got to be watching and we got to be sober, because all of a sudden somebody will creep in, something will creep in our lives, man, and it won't look any different than the rest of the smooth road ahead. And man, it'll be a bump. And if we're watching, I was watching and I was sober and it didn't damage the car, but boy, it could have. Boy, if I hadn't been watching and we hadn't have been keeping a good grip on the wheel, it could have derailed us. We could have had a bad way. We couldn't be here tonight, amen? I'm Superman. I would have still been here, but you all wouldn't have been here. Amen? My wife says, that's what she thinks. She says, I think I am, amen? And so listen here. I want you to see this with me, sober. And not only that, but in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now this breastplate, we understand in different areas of Scripture, we have the breastplate of righteousness, and here it says the breastplate of faith. And I want to tell you, listen, that breastplate was very important, because it covered up, these two things are the body, the organs of the body. You can get your arm cut and you can go on, friend. You can get your leg cut and go on. But you take a sword to that torso and you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to take too many more steps. You're not going to go on for the Lord very far if you take a bad one to the inner body. And even the helmet, we got to guard our minds. Listen, if the body's going to do something, it's going to be directed by the mind. If the body's going to be sent on and go on, it's going to be directed by the mind. And here, that hope of salvation. I want to say that body, I was thinking about that, all that we, some of those people and things that were going on, how much better it would have been. I had that rental car, but before I came down here, there's a equipment auction back home, and I like to go to it every year, and we're missing it. It's this Saturday this year, but they had this truck preacher. It was a 2012 Duramax four-wheel drive, double cab, nice body. I mean, it was just a pretty truck. And man, but it had this push bar on the front of it. I never seen nothing like it. I mean, it was like the biggest front bumper thing I'd ever seen. And I mean, you could push on something. I mean, if you really got some road rage, if you wiped the paint off, nobody know. Amen. As long as they didn't find them. It even had a hitch. It was so heavy. It had a trailer hitch on the front of it, so you could push a trailer into a job site. I said, man, that's nice. I didn't lust after it. But I stood there and I said, man, that's nice. But I thought to myself, you know, as I read through this area of scripture, I thought, man, you know, that truck, boy, she's guarded. That front motor area, man, it's got something that protects it, because that motor's what's going to make everything happen with that truck. That motor's going to keep that thing going and keep it running down the road. That's going to be the part that really makes something happen for it. And boy, it needs some protection. You know, we got to have some faith. We got to have some grounded faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look at, man, this thing about the soul winning marathon, I hope you're praying, man. Listen, nothing will build people's faith like praying for 100 and getting 150. Nothing will build your faith. Nothing will get you better. Listen, being in this Word of God and praying for what's going on there, amen, and rejoicing with them, nothing will build your faith. Listen, but don't just have faith. It says the breastplate of faith and love. You know, loving one another, you know, one of the hardest things, and I've heard all kinds of preachers say, you know, not too many churches are tore apart from the outside, it's the inside. Right. It's a lack of love between the brethren. And you know, our faith, it's good to have doctrine right and have faith in what you believe. But you need, listen, if you're going to be what Jesus wants you to be, if you're going to be like him, you're going to love the brethren. Right. He said it's going to be a natural thing. And we listen, that breastplate of faith, protecting ourselves as a church, as a body of Christ, it includes not only getting doctrine right, but getting our love right for each other, loving each other we ought to. And listen, that hope of salvation, listen, nothing will change your life more than this. If you're here tonight, and I'm saying this for teenagers and young people that are in the building, what changed my life for the Lord Jesus Christ was getting my salvation settled. And knowing for sure, you could never move on and do anything for God until you get a firm foundation and that know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen. You can't move on. It's spinning your wheels right in the same place. Boy, once you get that settled, boy, you can get some traction and do something for God. Listen, tonight as we read on, I just want to get real fast. Jump with me because of my time. I want you to look at it with me. Skip down. And to verse 12, I want to read this, and we'll kind of go into the last couple verses. But, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now I want to go back, and I just want to say, it says esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It talks about those that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. I just want to say, listen, we don't, you know, sometimes personalities don't work for us with people that are over us in the Lord. I've not been in the ministry, you know, 850 years or anything, but I can tell you this, that not all the time you're going to work with somebody that the two of you are just best buddies. But you know, if they're a worker, if they're somebody that's pushing forward the cause of Christ, you ought to respect them in the Lord. You ought to love them. Love them even for what they're doing for Christ. It's, you know, man, when you love Christ the right way, you know, if somebody, you know, I might not like somebody, but if they go out of their way to help my wife, if my wife had a flat tire, and I might not even like some brother, but if they drove by and changed that tire for my wife, you know, it ain't hard for me to like them. It ain't hard for me to love them. You know, and if I love the Lord Jesus, if I see somebody working and laboring for the Lord, man, we might clash personality-wise, but boy, we can fall in love with them because they love the same Jesus that I love. And we ought to, man, it says here, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. I know that this isn't popular. I've never even heard anybody preach on this. But this verse is here, and this isn't my main point, but I want to say this. You know that there's a time and a place, and you ought to warn the unruly. You know, the church of God and the house of God and the place of God. Listen, if you hear somebody saying something that's inappropriate, it's time to warn them. Amen? Come on. It's all right to amen. Amen. It's all right to call people down. We live in a world where people duck their head and walk on in the supermarket, where if you want to correct your children, you try to take them back to the car to do it. Amen. Sometimes, you know, warning somebody that's unruly, they need it right then and there. My kids don't remember. They got got the same thing their dad got, amen, and it's they don't remember real well, amen. If I wait till the car, they don't remember what it was. You know what you did, you know, dead dummy head deer in the headlights. I have no idea. And you say they remember. Oh yeah, but they remember real well. And I say, I told you not to do that. Amen. That quick. You know, in our church, as our teenagers, man, they need to see. Most teenagers that come to our church, when we correct them and treat them, listen, do you know when you take time to warn somebody, they realize that you care about them? Amen. Care enough to correct them. Care enough to spend a little time on them and say, you're not doing this right. This is how to do it. Let's get it right. Amen. Do it the right way. We've already talked about love. Comfort the feeble-minded. I believe every church has feeble-minded people, and we could sit here and joke and go over the ones that are feeble-minded, and you could say I was too if that's what you wanted to do. But I say tonight, listen, there, you know, in the ministry, I've realized that there's a lot of people that need to be comforted. Man, our church, man, I've heard people say things about, you know, our educably slow class that's at our church. But we love all kinds of people. It don't matter, you know, and I want to comfort them. The greatest comfort that's ever come to me is having the peace of knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. And if they can understand that, as a small child can understand it, they need it too. If they can understand what my 5-year-old child can understand in the nursery in K-5, then they need it. They need somebody to love them and comfort them just like anybody else. Listen, it says here, this isn't popular. I know we don't speak about this. Support the weak. You know, there's people, and I know that as we age, you know, we have a lady on our bus route, you know, every Sunday. She's got a tore-up yard. My heart is broken for her even tonight. My wife will tell you, she has a lot of, we've been trying to get her out of the place she's living because she ain't had water for weeks. And we've had some bad storms and some weather, and it tore her whole little pump house over and threw her water pump up in the air, and she's just been without water, and her yard's a mess. And we used to try to pull the bus up to the door until we just about buried it in her front yard, and now we have to walk her in. And listen, the Bible says that support the weak every week. Listen, not just with money, sometimes with a shoulder and helping them walk to the door, getting them to church, being with them, carrying their groceries. Listen, I've learned more in my years, just little things that people with gray hair have said to me. In short, if I am sober and awake and I support those that aren't as strong as they used to be, amen. The devil is in the building. Amen. Focus in with me as we finish up tonight. Amen. If that falls, amen, it's electronics and the devil's in that stuff. Amen. Amen. Look at it with me. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Now, that covers a lot of things, and I'm not going to expound on it, but, you know, there's all types of men. And as we read the next verse, it says, see that none render evil for evil in any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. You know, there was something happened in our church years ago when I wasn't the Christian I ought to be, I would say, and somebody came up to me and said, boy, that guy needs to pay for what he did. And I said, like I should pay for my sins? Like Jesus paid for my sins and he paid for your sins? And that person just turned around. And I wasn't a Christian I ought to be, but I can tell you that didn't sound right to me. Well, I mean, they were bowed up and they wanted to make sure this person got what they deserved. And I thought, man, in the church house, God's people, Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen. If they want restoring, if they're willing to be restored, if they want to come home and get right, boy, you ought to have open arms, not pushing them away with a paddle, ready to swing. Amen. Listen here, I want to tell you tonight, listen, it says, both among yourselves and to all men. Listen, we don't just act like Christians in the church and with God's people, man. If I had somebody that worked for me when I was out in the working world and I had my own business and they messed up and they were willing, they really, with a repentant heart, came back and wanted to do right, I'd treat them the same way I would a brother in Christ. He says here, rejoice evermore. Well, we got some things to rejoice about. I know it's not been a rejoicing type message tonight, but you realize what was written in chapter 4. Is what our mindset needs to still be on. All these are things for us to watch and be sober and keep our mind on and be ready and working for the Lord Jesus Christ and be after what he wants us to be after, doing what he wants us to do. And we can rejoice that, you know, at any moment while I'm doing what God asked me to do, he could take me out of this place. He could take me to be home with him. Listen, there would be nothing better. And I heard Brother Chad's message, and I'll reiterate what he said. Listen, if I could win the last soul, that was headed to heaven. Boy, that would be my will. I don't know if that's the Lord's will, but that would be my will. I'd love to go and enter the presence of God with a bowed head with a sinner that just came to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that'd be great. Listen, I tell you tonight, listen, he says, pray without ceasing. As a church, in tonight's prayer meeting, I just want to encourage you like this. A young man, not a preacher, one of our deacons, he was talking about this. He said, I've contemplated, we have an all-night prayer meeting for our men once a year at our church, and we all come out and we stay through the night, and we have a time of prayer, and we'll have a man give a little bit of a devotional. And he preached on this area, praying without ceasing. He said, you know, a lot of times in my life, with my prayers, I don't put feet to my prayers. He said, sometimes I pray and ask the Lord for something, and I really am asking in earnest. I want him to do that in my life. But I never follow it up. You know, if I prayed that God would help that lady that's on my bus route get water, if I have the means to do it, I need to start making plans to get there. And praying that God would have somebody else get there before me. I mean, I want her to have water. And if I want her to have water, I'll ask someone else, engage other people to pray with me about the same thing. But I'm not good. Listen, this praying without ceasing, I believe, is like getting the ball rolling and keeping it rolling all day long. It's starting in prayer and saying, God, you have all power. You said that you have all power in all the world and you can do all things. And I mean, I believe you that you can do all things. Listen, a lot of times, think about how you rely on yourself. If you were like me, listen, I can get bowed up in pride, and I got broad shoulders, and I'll take on the world head on. I'll take on all my challenges, and I'll say, I can get this, this, and this, and all these things done, and I'll carry on through the day and never ask the Lord to go with me. I don't want to be like that. I want to get down and have all that's going to be. I mean, I know I'm going to be shoving this thing. I know there's others are going to be shoving today. I know people that I haven't seen because they're overseas shoving for the Lord and carrying and pushing. It's getting the ball rolling in the morning and then carrying on the rest of the day to see it through. That's praying without ceasing. Not just praying and going on about my day and never thinking about it again. It's putting feet to my prayers. It's getting to work. You know, back in the day, why they shut so many. Man, I mean, they had bars and all those kind of things. Billy Sunday in that day when bars shut down and all those kind of places that, I mean, were filthy places, they shut down because they didn't just pray. They prayed and then they went down there. Amen. And they drugged some people out and talked to them about the Lord. They went down and prayed in front of the place. Even in my lifetime as a young Christian, I remember when we used to go downtown and we would picket the dirty bookstore. There was one night a week that you could find men from my church out there picking in the dirty bookstore. And my preacher would get up and say, you know what? If there's only one night a week that nobody will go down there and buy anything, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep picking. We're going to keep walking. That's putting feet to your prayers. You want it to close down, then get out there and picket it. Get out there and shut it down. Get there and put your feet to it. Listen, we live in a country. We live in a town. Man, I was out here today, and man, we're not backwoods. You don't think we're all out in the country. I mean, we have blacktop roads where I'm at, and we have people, you know. I mean, but you know, it wasn't like we went up to Walmart and I was like, you know, I'm going to the car. I can't take all this. Amen. Amen. And I went in there. I mean, there was just people everywhere. And I thought to myself, how many people are here just in Walmart today? How many lost people have gone in and out of Walmart today? Praise the Lord, we watched a car come up, and there was a track. I believe, I'm just going to say by faith it was from Landmark Baptist Church, under the windshield wiper. And I watched a lady whose car it was not, who acted like it was a natural thing to pull it off of someone else's car, walk over and throw it in the trash can. But that said to my heart, people are used to having tracks on the windshield in this town. Listen, you know, there were so many people that had different accents and that wasn't from the South. They were from all over the world that were in that Walmart today. What an opportunity to put feet to your prayers right here in Haines City. With your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if I had to draw it all to a point tonight, boy, if I was going to pray without ceasing, it all starts, I believe, with having a hope in heaven.